Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Get the Table, another round table discussion podcast. I'm Adam Wilborn, joined by Michael Sidgwick. Forbidden Door is this weekend, Sidge. Time of recording, Dynamite is tonight. But we're here to talk about the problem with Forbidden Door, because you've had reservations, I think it's fair to say, about this show in recent weeks. They remain right now. Why doesn't this feel as special as it probably should?
Well, I've spoken at length, Wilborn, about my problem with interpromotional feuds and the concept of them and people fantasy booking them. My core problem with that is that something like AEW doesn't have one fixed identity. There's not one promotion to sort of get behind or to represent. And there's lots of range within the promotion stylistically. It's splintered into factions and it's storytelling universe, similar to New Japan Pro Wrestling.
You can't a wrestling buffet.
Yeah, exactly. You can't really do an extended New Japan Pro Wrestling versus AEW program because it kind of makes no sense. There's no one fixed promotion on either side of that bracket, if you like. But you can absolutely do a one-night AEW x New Japan Pro Wrestling show. The very basic, unfussy, brilliant premise behind which is various wrestlers from each promotion saying, we're the best at this style and we are going to prove it tonight. A bit of promotional pride for one night only. Nothing ridiculous like red and blue t-shirts or anything like that. But they actually value wrestling and being great at wrestling. So they share something in common. They are generally perceived, and maybe it's not so true in 2022. I know DDT and Stardom are getting more critically acclaimed. But generally in the mainstream, I think New Japan Pro Wrestling and AEW are really considered the best two promotions, rightly or wrongly. But I think that's generally the consensus. Hence why a show like this makes sense to do. Hence why it's being done. Hence why a lot of people are excited for it, or at least were before the build. My problem is that it hasn't been unfussy. It hasn't been simple. That incredibly basic premise has not been explored enough. This is the one night per year where you really could have got away with doing, here's a match graphic, minimal storyline build required. This wrestler, who's awesome, is defending the honor and the value and the prestige of his promotion against another wrestler who's either similar or very different in a complementary way to this wrestler, and they are embodying each promotion. The problem for me is that it doesn't really feel special. It doesn't have a unique identity unto itself. They've booked Forbidden Door, mostly on the AEW side, through the sort of convoluted lens of its standard North American episodic weekly TV product. That's how we arrive at something like FTR versus Roppongi Vice versus United Empire, and how that's folded into the Orange Cassidy versus Will Ospreay program. For this to happen, you have to rely on the fact that FTR and Roppongi Vice have common ground. Their match was disrupted, so they've teamed together on an episode of Rampage to thwart the interfering disturbers, the interlopers from New Japan, yet they're also having a match with the people they partnered with. And it just feels less like organic one-on-one, we've each got something huge to prove stakes. And instead it just feels incredibly convoluted and an excuse to get a lot of people on the card, which is a problem realistically that's been consistent with AEW well before Double or Nothing. This bloated roster is creating a problem, and just booking it through the lens of episodic North American TV has just made it feel to me wildly contrived and not special unto itself.
Yeah, six matches on the card right now, seven if you include whoever Jay White faces for the IWGP, a World Heavyweight Championship, of course. And like you say, I think the moment we found out that AEW and New Japan had a partnership, let alone a pay-per-view, you know, you yourself and many other people for What Culture were writing, you know, top 10 lists of dream matches. And to a certain extent, you know, there was the possibility of that. But is it fair to argue it's a little bit, this iteration of Forbidden Door, and we'll talk a little bit about the future of it going forward in a bit, it feels a little bit cursed.
Yeah,
you know, Punk's out. Danielson, presumably, according to reports, is going to say tonight he may miss it. Okada's still up in the air. There's no Naito, Shingo. You know, you've talked about these people yourself in our Dynamite chats about who you'd like to see on it. Is that a fair assessment?
I would say so. The original plan for this show is significantly better than what we've had so far. I don't necessarily think it's an excuse. They could have created a better backup plan. Mm-hmm. God knows across both companies, they absolutely have the talent to do this. But yes, the original plan was CM Punk versus Hiroshi Tanahashi and Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr., which again, at time of recording, it's still a little bit up in the air for all we know. And they were going to do an absolutely glorious bit of fan service, I think before Moxley was relied upon to main event the show as the other top draw outside of CM Punk in the company, I think the trios match that is being mooted for the undercard was going to be Jericho, Suzuki and Guevara versus Kingston, Shota Umino and Moxley. I really think, can you imagine that trios match, right? You've got Moxley and Shota teaming together. Everyone has got such a massive, not everyone, but those who love Moxley and Shota.
The real, I know about Shota.
Shota, the real panty dropper. Like everyone like absolutely loves that unit. And can you imagine, right? You've got Moxley and the cold death stare from the Shooter on one side with goddamn Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
And then you've got the 1-2 punch of the two biggest sing-along anthems in sort of pro wrestling, where you've got Kazi Nina Rare followed by Judas. Or, if you do Judas first and Jericho's giving it the big and everyone loves my song, and then Kazi Nina Rare gets an even bigger pap, that would be awesome. Jericho being like a bit of a bitch about getting dwarfed by the pop, and they could have some interplay with Suzuki and Jericho where they can't really get along in the match. Like, that would have been great. So the original plan for this show was better, but ultimately I don't like the idea 5 days out from the event itself. We don't know what Shingo's doing. We don't know what Tetsuya Naito's doing. We don't know what Hiromu Takahashi's doing. Like, these are beloved stars in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and we still are kind of none the wiser. The whole idea of having a month-long build is that you can escalate it, you can peak it at the right times. You still want to reassure your fan base that some of the very best wrestlers in the world are going to wrestle on the show. And for me, the biggest indictment of Forbidden Door, the real problem with this show, is that the second it was announced, as you said, people were writing lists about it. Everyone was on Twitter doing their biggest dream matches. I've seen so much more fantasy booking that's better than the card that I'm looking at on Wikipedia, and that's bad. AEW should be, and at the very peak of their powers, are so much better at booking than us marks. Like, they're so much better at it. And increasingly, as it pertains to Forbidden Door, I just don't feel like that's the case.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Worrying, you mentioned that we talked a lot about this in the Dynamite preview podcast that was just released now, but you you talked also about the Okada situation.
That's a mess.
And the fact that they, you know, it's all well and good, me and you sitting here and say, wouldn't it be great if we had Okada versus Hangman Page or Okada versus Adam Cole or Okada versus anyone.
Or Page.
Yeah. But the fact they mentioned his name and at time of recording, he's not on the card.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I don't know why they would dangle the carrot of something amazing and then instantly sort of make it more convoluted increasingly. And I hate to say this, like I've been called an AEW shill since the day this company was formed. Mm-hmm. And now I'm becoming a WWE shill, even though I still think that company's fairly rubbish.
And you wrote a book about AEW.
And I've wrote a goddamn book about AEW. Like, ultimately, it gives me no pleasure to say this is a convoluted mess that could have been 1 million times better. Mm. But ultimately, it's kind of a convoluted mess that could have been a million times better. And the worst thing is, it's antithetical to good promotion. Therefore, it is absolutely kind of horrendous promotion. This could all be resolved tonight. They yes. could do a Page Okada singles match, right? And they could book it tonight, and I'll happily eat crow. I'd love to admit that I was wrong. I would absolutely love to do it. But the second they said they had Adam Page come out on Dynamite, very simple, the way I think they should have been booked all along, I want Okada. Great. You've got one of the best wrestlers of all time in Okada versus a guy who's equally as explosive, who could one day have the legacy he does in a battle for supremacy in real competition.
Don't even need the title.
Don't need the title. You just need the goddamn match graphic. You just need the promise that it's happening. Then Adam Cole gets in the mix. And then Jay White says, I don't want to face either of you scrubs, which doesn't really not put them over as scrubs. And then you have people online wildly confused about what the permutations of this are. Are they going to do a four-way? Are they going to do a tag? Are they going to do a three-way? Because Okada might not even be there. Why dangle the carrot?
Yes.
They should have known that the announcement of Paige saying, I want Okada. Right, done. Huge pop. That match is going to be awesome. They've complicated this. No one knows what the direction is. And more tellingly, no one really cares about what the direction is. Everyone's caught of is anxiously worrying about the worst that this sort of weird dynamic could throw up, like a three-way, another four-way on a show that's already got a four-way that's accommodating too many stars. It just feels like a complete mess. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're kind of writing this as they go along, not knowing the status of one of the competitors. And if Okada was booked all along, right, why have Adam Cole say, I might not be on the show? That's just going to terrify people who you want to purchase the show. And if it was in the air all along, why have Paige say, I want Okada? Because everyone instantly went, boom, great, that's the match. Paige versus Shingo is actually the match. I'd absolutely love to see that. But Paige Okada would be awesome as well. Like, match of the year candidate. It just feels like they don't know what the audience really deep down wants. And that in itself is like a grander, wider problem that is a little bit alarming.
What can they learn going forward to next year? How do they improve it? Now, fingers crossed we have it next year, of course, but you know, all being well and good, we get Danielson, we get Punk, obviously, on those the card, you know, Forbidden Door 2023. What else would you like to see them do differently?
Everything I said in the first minute. I'm not saying that I'm right or anything like that, but it's just such a unique opportunity to do something outside of the norm. Like, I generally tend to love AEW's approach to long-term storytelling, mm-hmm. even if they can do certain mid-card programs that are long-term for long-term sake, Miro and Kip Sabian versus Best Friends. But ultimately, it can get a little bit churny, a little bit overwrought, a little bit, why haven't you had a goddamn match yet? Mm. I didn't really care about it that much, and 4 months later, I care about it even less. This was such a great opportunity to deviate from the usual pattern of booking, because I think everyone experiences a little bit of a lull because wrestling doesn't have an off season. It happens every year. I've watched wrestling this year and many other years where I was like, this is objectively really good, but I'm just not in a wrestling place because I can't like everything for 365 days or like the infinity loop because it never ends. Any kind of change at least once or twice per year that can completely take you by surprise is really sort of worth doing. Like the rare occasions on which they do a DQ or a count out, mm-hmm. it really feels refreshing. Yeah. Something like this needs to happen every now and then. I just think they had such a unique opportunity to do something very unfussy, simple, very atypical of AEW. And it just doesn't feel like it's been booked at all from the New Japan side. I'm not feeling New Japan's identity. And I know I spoke earlier that there isn't a storyline identity, but there's a booking philosophy to New Japan. There's a way that they have of doing things. And it just feels like Tony Khan's been given full free reign of this, and he hasn't done the very best job he could have. Match graphics, just something as simple as, I'll be very quick, Sonny.
I know we have the issue with when they have these things with AEW and New Japan of the politics of it all. But like you say, they didn't need to have everyone be a storyline driven into this match. If you just say, right, you're the best, you know, like you say, former world champion, for example, if you're going to do Okada versus Page, you're the best former world champion from New Japan. It doesn't need like, and as well as that, your wife's going to be in his corner or anything like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It just feels like such a great opportunity to have a wrestler from AEW win a match. Afterwards, he's interviewed by Tony Schiavone and he lays down a challenge and then the lights go out and then you get someone on the Titantron from the New Japan side accepting the challenge. And that way, if you keep the build as unfussy as possible, you can create the match in the theatre of your own mind. You don't have to have some rubbish or sort of rote American television trappings to arrive at it. FTR, Roppongi Vice, Will Ospreay, like post-match beatdown, schmozzes and three ways. And it's all very USA wrestling.
Yeah, Ospreay Cassidy writes itself.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got some incredibly wound up Brit who takes himself very seriously and who breaks his body for the craft. And you've got Orange Cassidy, who barely does anything with his body for the craft. Like, there's a really good dynamic there. They just haven't explored why these two people would be drawn together in conflict from either side of the company. And it just feels like certain other developments, like the Christian Cage heel turn, has been in the works for so long. And it just feels overshadowed by the build to Forbidden Door. If they'd kept it minimal, and I understand that they've got an event to sell, but if they hadn't done loads of turns and twists and post-match beatdowns, and did it in a unique way. Not only would it sell the show itself, Forbidden Door, as something unique and special, but something like Christian Cage's heel turn might have resonated a little bit more, because a post-match beatdown after a finish, I've saw that on the build to Forbidden Door already. It just feels like it's been squandered after a year. Basically, just do what I say.
And very quickly, finally, surprises, because we talked about this with Will Ospreay's arrival was watered down by the fact they had so many surprise appearances in the build-up.
That's a great point, and I'm glad that you reminded me of the great point that I made on the podcast a few weeks ago, because ultimately I can't understand the legitimate insanity, right, where the whole premise of Forbidden Door is that people are walking through this Forbidden Door. Surprises are meant to resonate and scan as a surprise, which they don't if they are no longer surprising. This is like absolute basics. This isn't wrestling booking. This is just total common sense. With all due respect to the three respective performers, right, who I don't necessarily think are worthy of a full-time contract in AEW, but that's just my subjective opinion, right? I think they've each got individual merit and they have fan bases that I'm not necessarily a part of. W. Morrissey, Big Damo, and Johnny Elite.
Yes.
Right. I don't think they're necessarily all elite, especially all elite in 2022 with the ridiculous overstuffed roster they have. Why would you do three, hey, surprise, it's this guy appearances when those guys aren't really worthy of the red carpet treatment, and that is the USP of the show you are booking in under a month? Total insanity, total excess, high on your own tropes, which is bad because when other people aren't quite so high on those tropes and the booker is still thinking they're great, that suggests a disconnect with the audience. Try not to be all doom and gloom. No. And I hope to be made a complete tit of by Dynamite tonight, but I reckon they've botched this. It's going to take an 11th hour salvage job to make this anywhere near as good as something someone said on Reddit of all places that could have been a better card. Next year. We've always got next year.
There we go.
I've been saying that since 2020.
Let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed in the comments section below. You can continue the conversation with us on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
You can also get your hands on his brilliant book, Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW, on Amazon right now. And we'll be talking all about this tomorrow. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from. We're going to have the Dynamite review and an extended preview of Forbidden Door featuring the guy you may notice is missing today, Michael Hamflett, talking all about that. But yes, continue the discussion, what you think the problem is with Forbidden Door going forward, in the comments or on Twitter. But for now, my thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.